How long have you been flying?
I had my first ever lesson on the last day of May last year, so that was 2008. And I passed CP in March this year, nearly a year training.
Did you find it hard going, or did you find it quite easy?
The training itself was fine. I mean, I found it kind of challenging at times and scared myself a few times, but I don't think I found it particularly difficult. No, it was just more frustrating because of waiting for the weather. The weather was so bad last year, I spent a long time waiting for a good day to go and fly.
Yeah, I suppose once you get to beyond the ground handling and actually having to do the tasks,
yeah,
then to get the weather, it's very difficult, isn't it?
Yeah, I was waiting a long time to try and get top landings in. It was horrendous. And every time I went, it was just a bit too light. It'd be too windy and we weren't flying at all. And it was just so frustrating waiting. Yeah, so it seemed to take forever in the end just to get the last few tasks in.
So since you've passed out, have you managed to do quite a bit of flying, or has the weather conspired against you again?
At the moment I'm on 8 days post-CP, and out of that I've got, most of them have been several flights in a day that have been really short flights, but I have had a couple of pretty long ones as well now, so it's been kind of a bit of a mixed bag, but I've been quite happy because I've been biding my time and waiting for good conditions really.
So what was your motivation to start to fly in the first place?
I guess I came into it in an unusual way as well, because last January, Mark Dan at Beyond Extreme had arranged a trip to Argentina for him and six other pilots, and the plan was that they were going to go to a place just near Mendoza, and they were going to walk up the highest mountain in the Southern Hemisphere and then fly off it, which is Aconcagua. And Mark had organised this trip with a guy called Simon Yates, who's a professional mountaineer who people may have heard of from Touching Void. There was a film and a book of it. And he's got tons of experience. And I actually knew Simon. And I heard about this trip to South America and asked if I could tag along on it, because I'd climbed with Simon before in Nepal and really enjoyed it. So I tagged along on this trip as a mountaineer. And what initially hooked me onto flying was the science of it, really. Because when we were walking into the national park towards the mountain, all these guys were talking about the weather and the cloud formations and how the wind was working. And I found it really fascinating, because for a living I'd try and work out what the climate was like in the past from looking at rock formations and the fossils that are in them. So I was really interested in what they were saying about the clouds and the weather, really. And then at the end of the trip, I watched Steve Dean fly down off the mountain, and I just thought they were absolutely insane, because he was getting buffeted about all over the place. He was having asymmetric collapses everywhere, and it just looked crazy to me. I really couldn't understand why these guys wanted to do this at all. But then when we were walking out of the national park at the end, Steve kept saying to me, "Oh, you should give it a try, because I think you'd like it." And when I got back to the UK, one of the guys that I worked with was saying, "Well, actually, I'd really like to have a go, but if I go, you've got to go with me." So initially I went just to go with this guy that I worked with, because I just thought, "Oh, I'll give it a go, but I don't think I'm going to like it." But in the end, I got hooked, and the guy who I worked with didn't want to go back again. So, yeah, it was just through this random mountaineering trip that I ended up getting into flying. All the guys that went on the trip, though, have been really supportive since we got back, and they'd heard the rumour that I'd had a go at it. And so they've helped me a lot, just giving advice generally, and retrieves as well. They've brought me back from the bottom of the Long Mynd a few times. So, yeah, they've been really good, really supportive.
How has your experience as a new pilot been?
I kind of probably went down a different route than most pilots, because I knew people who were flying before I started flying. And I know Mark Dan, who I trained with at Beyond Extreme, normally puts people in touch with a club coach at the end of the training, so they've got someone to ring and they can organise to meet them on site and things. But because I already knew people who were experienced pilots, I just kind of got in touch with them and met up with them on site, and made an effort as well to go up and speak to people that I didn't know already. So I found the first couple of days after completing CP, when I went out, I found it kind of a bit daunting because you're still trying to make sure that you're doing everything right and everything's connected properly, and you've got so much going on in your head. Talking to people as well is just another thing to think about, but it was a bonus for me already knowing people and feeling relaxed with them, so that helped an awful lot. And being able to go to some of the sites that I knew as well, because the first time I flew was at the Gurn, which I'd flown a few times in training, so it was a familiar sight already. And then I was flying at the Mynd as well, which, like, although we'd been flying at the other end at Black Knoll, it was still kind of a familiar area and there were people that I knew around. So that transition wasn't as big as I thought it was going to be initially. It was just getting over the thought of being on your own, really, and knowing that you didn't have the comfort blanket of Mark being on the end of the radio. But most of the time you've got someone else on the end of the radio now who's just there if you need them.
Being with an instructor is a very protected environment. To have to actually go out on your own and make decisions and things is a huge step.
Yeah, I think it could be really difficult, actually, if you don't know many people. I mean, I was lucky and I'd been talking to people constantly during training about weather conditions and what sort of conditions I wanted to fly in. And I already kind of had a programme of things that I wanted to do in my mind, so I didn't want to just go out and fly and not really be thinking about what I was doing. I knew initially that I wanted to try and pick really good flying days when it was going to be a nice gentle wind, nothing too strong, and just do top to bottoms to start with and then just build up really slowly, so I wasn't going to scare myself, basically, because I thought if I scare myself I'm not going to want to do it. So I kind of had this plan in my head of how I was going to build up the flying from the start, and I had been talking to people a lot about the sort of days I was looking for and what sort of weather I was wanting. And I actually spend a lot of time stood on the hill watching other people who are there, who I know, and who I know their skills level, so I can kind of look at them and think, okay, if they're not flying, there's a reason for them not flying. So I'll look at the conditions a bit more closely than I probably would have done if I'd have just been there on my own and not really watching what was going on. If you don't have the support of other people there that you know and who you've been around a bit, then I think it probably can be quite difficult to assess the conditions for you to fly in as well.
Well, you said earlier that you flew at the Mynd and at the Gurn, which were sites that you're familiar with, but you actually live quite a long way away from the Long Mynd sites, so you've had to go out and actually meet people in other clubs. Did you find that experience quite easy, or because you're just outgoing and therefore you meet people easily anyway, or how did that work out?
Before I went, I was really nervous about it, actually. What I decided to do was that my nearest club at the moment is the Dales Club, because I'm based in Yorkshire. So I decided that I'd join the Dales Club and then it would be somewhere near for me to go to fly on summer evenings rather than have to drive all the way down to Shropshire. So I decided to go and meet up with them, and I initially went to their club night. I actually did a presentation on the trip to Aconcagua that Mark Dan had gone on with some other pilots, and I'd gone as a mountaineer. That was how I knew about flying in the first place. And I went to the Dales Club to do this presentation, and they were all really nice and really supportive, and they knew that I'd started flying and I'd just recently got my club pilot, so they were telling me about all the events that they arrange, and they've got a really good coaching program. So I went along on one of their coaching days. They have those once a month. It's just one day a month, and they go to a site, give you a site briefing, and then if you're working towards your pilot exam, then they'll work through tasks with you and things. But basically, whatever your aim is for the day, they'll help you with if you need help. So they're a really nice bunch of guys, and actually approaching them after the initial nervousness of thinking, I don't know any of these people and I don't know what they're going to be like, they were all so friendly and approachable and really helpful and supportive that it wasn't a problem at all. I would tell anybody not to be scared of going up and speaking to people on a hill, because everybody that I've been and spoken to on a hill has been brilliant.
To be honest, get most pilots talking about flying, you can't shut them up, never mind, kind of get to talk to them.
Yeah. Because another experience I had was because I'm kind of it's almost the same distance to the Derbyshire sites as it is to the Dale sites for me, and so I went to one of the Derbyshire sites one evening to Russop Edge, and there was a couple of guys there just milling around on the ground because the person that I'd gone to meet there was already in the air. And so I just went up to these guys who were on the ground and chatted to them and asked for a site briefing, and they were brilliant as well. So after getting over the initial nervousness of speaking to people that you don't know, they're always really good. Yeah, I haven't spoken to anybody who's been in any way funny at all.
Well, everybody's been there. Everybody's been a new pilot at one point, and everybody wants to make sure that new people get the right information and that, you know, they have a good flight and that they don't scare themselves or have an accident. So in my experience, I've never, ever turned up anywhere in the world and had people be kind of nasty to me or sort of say, you know, you shouldn't be here. People always want to help.
Quite a lot of people seem to be really embarrassed about wearing the red streamers, and I've actually found it really helpful because people do spot that you're wearing red streamers, and they will come over and they'll give you advice and they'll make sure that you're okay and stuff, and so they'll generally approach you rather than the other way around anyway. So if you are a bit shy about going and speaking to people, then they'll generally come and speak to you anyway if they can identify you as a new pilot. I found the red ribbon system really good, and I've had some really nice comments from people as well who've been watching me flying.
Say I didn't get rid of my ribbon until I had about 20 hours or so, because, you know, not only do people give you room in the air, but they do come up and give you helpful hints just about stuff that you can't see because you're so overwhelmed with the experience of just flying.
Oh, yeah, I've had some really useful comments from people because I found it quite difficult initially to judge where I was on the hill. I felt like I was really low and really far into the hill, but I'd have people saying, oh, you were a little bit far out, you'd try and get in a bit closer.
So have you hooked up with a lot of other people who are at the same level as you to sort of share experiences, or have you just stuck to kind of the people that you already know that are already established pilots?
There's a few people who are kind of on the same level as me, still on red streamers, and we'll have a chat on the hill about how we're doing, and if we've flown different sites, we'll pass on what we've felt about the different sites, really. And then there's also some people that I know who are still going through training, so I've been trying to support them and keep them enthused about it, because I know how frustrating it is waiting for the weather and waiting to get those final last tasks in. I've been trying to encourage them through that as well. It'll be nice when they've finished their training and meet them on a hill somewhere and fly together with them. So it is kind of mixed. I'm starting to meet people as well who are kind of in between that as well. They're not red ribbon guys, but they're not really experienced, so they're kind of chatting about what experiences they've had on the site, because people seem to have different approaches to it, I think. I've spoken to a few people who are just trying to build up as many hours in the air as possible, and other people, kind of like me, have been trying to get used to the feel of my wing and doing short hops to start out with and practicing different things, top to bottoms and slope landings, and I've done a bit of scratching and stuff as well. So the vast majority of the flights that I've been doing have been really short, but I've learnt a lot about my wing and how I control it from doing that. So I've only just now started having longer flights and playing about in the air more, really. It's just extending a bit now and flying in slightly stronger conditions. It's with a variety of different people there.
From your description of the way you've approached it, you're looking at all the skills, or not all of them, but a lot of the skills you're going to need to be safe and to cope with a lot of different conditions.
I mean, I found it really frustrating for a little while because I just seemed to be having these real short flights, and I'd be seeing on the forum people posting these huge long flights that they'd done, and I was thinking, what am I doing wrong here? And why am I not getting these big flights? And then I was thinking, yeah, but an hour on the ground is probably worth 10 hours in the air, and I've learned an awful lot about my wing. And actually, last time I went out, I had a little bit of an asymmetric collapse, and I dealt with it. And I actually felt really calm about it in the end. And I think if I hadn't have had that experience of playing about with my wing so much, it would have probably completely freaked me out and scared me off for a while. But because I kind of knew what I needed to do to get out of that and control it, I felt a lot more confident about it. And I think that comes from playing around on the ground a lot and doing new ground handling and doing short hops and I had a bit of an issue with slope landing as well, because I'd had quite a heavy slope landing initially early on after doing CP, and it kind of put me off a bit. But I spent one day doing lots of slope landings and just scratching around, and I kind of got my confidence up doing that as well. So it was all like between 2 and 3 minute flights, but it was doing a lot of takeoffs and landings and slope landings, which were the thing that I hated, which I feel like I can deal with a lot more confidently now as well. I built up slowly because first time I went out after passing CP, I had quite a nasty day. I went to the Mind and it was incredibly busy, and I wasn't particularly comfortable on takeoff, and I ended up taking off and not feeling happy in the crowd at all, because there seemed to be people everywhere. And I was going to go into bottom land, but ended up coming into the hill and was heading straight for a tree, so I had this dodgy slope landing, which kind of put me off, and I ended up not flying for the rest of the day except for a tandem with a friend. And I was really glad I'd done that tandem, because it kind of reminded me why I had loved flying. And I kind of thought about flying a lot when I got home and made sort of like 4 basic rules for me. The first one was that I would choose the days that I flew very carefully, and I would have this program of starting off really gently and just doing top to bottoms, preferably during the week when there wasn't anybody around. Not very many people around, obviously. I wanted someone there for support. But when it was quiet, and then I'd just slowly build up. The second one was that I had to remind myself that just because I was at a site didn't mean that I had to fly. So if I got to a site and I felt that it was too busy for me, or that the weather wasn't quite right for me, or it was too windy, then just because I was there it didn't mean I had to go up at all. The other one was to try and not to do anything that would scare me. So if I thought the weather was dodgy then, or there were too many people around, I wouldn't fly. But also, if, like, for instance, I had a day at the Gurn one day where everything was fine and I was flying a little way out from the hill, but it started getting a bit bumpy, and instead of staying in that bumpy air, I decided to come out of it and go down and bottom land, so I wouldn't scare myself and there was nothing going to happen if I came out of it and went down and bottom landed. So not scaring myself and putting myself off was quite a big one. And the fourth one is kind of a weird one, which is I always try and arrange for there to be someone there on site that I know and that I really trust. And I don't even have to go up and speak to them, but just knowing that they're there is kind of my comfort blanket again. And it's knowing that there's someone there for support and there's someone there that I trust and I can just keep an eye on, and I know their level as well. So if they're flying and are comfortable, then I'll be okay to fly and be comfortable. So getting that straight in my mind after that initial setback and thinking, why am I doing this? After that, I got myself a plan together and my training's gone on from there, really, because I think, although I've got CP now, I'm still training, and I think I'll be training and learning forever, because every flight's been different, and I think you've got to have some sort of structured way of approaching it, whether it's just building up from simple top to bottoms in nice conditions to doing mega cross-country flights. I think it does help for me anyway if I have some sort of plan of action of what I'm going to do.
I've got hundreds of hours and I am still learning every time I fly. Yeah. I think the day when I land and think I haven't learned anything at all is the day when I should just give up and do something else, because there's so many aspects to it. I don't think anybody ever finishes learning, and I've still got a plan. You know, I was talking to my mentor this morning and we were coming up with, right, what do I need to work on next, because there's no way I'm there. I've got basics still to sort out. I've got a relatively new wing. My launches aren't brilliant. It's something that I need to go and do some ground handling for. So stuff that you consider to be basic skills are not basic. They're always important skills. Doesn't matter who you are, if you look at really, really top guys, they still spend a lot of time ground handling, because that's an essential skill. So it's not something that you just tick, I've done that, and you can move on. You know, you'll never move on from that. So having a plan is something that you'll always do, or always should do. Yeah. So, you know, you're starting off on a really, really good grounding.
Yeah, and you were just saying about having your mentor, and I think that's a really good idea as well, because it's so easy to kid yourself that you intended to do something that you've done, like landing. I'm lucky if I land in the right field, but I keep trying to get myself to land in a specific spot, and it's so easy to kid yourself that you intended to land where you did land when you didn't really. I think it's really good to have someone with you, and you can say, okay, that I'm going to land in that corner of the field, and if you don't, then they're going to know that you've not done it right. I think it's really good to have someone who's watching you as well and can see what you're doing right and what you're doing wrong, because I don't think it's all negative things that people can point out. I think they can point out when you're doing something really good as well.
How are you doing with your confidence then? How confident do you feel these days, having done all these planned and tasks and set yourself goals and set yourself, you know, rules as well for when you're going to fly and when you're not going to fly?
I feel a lot more confident, actually, even in the short time that I have been flying post-CP. It's a lot more confident, yeah. When I initially started, I did have quite a lot of days when I was stood on the hill getting ready to launch and almost shaking. But now I feel a lot more confident, and I go through my routine of doing all my pre-flight checks, and I know that in my own mind that everything's okay with the equipment, and I do feel a lot more confident about the actual flying now as well. I mean, I still get nervous stood on takeoff, and I think I probably always will. I don't think that's a bad thing. I think it's a good thing to have a few nerves. But then there's a difference between nerves and fear as well. There was a point after that first day where it was just pure fear. I didn't want to take off, because although my mind was telling me everything was set up fine, logically everything was okay, there was something else in my mind saying it's a really stupid thing to want to fly. So I did have moments where it was fear more than nerves, and it's just kind of doing the psychological thing, building it up slowly and having these experiences where you do have good flights and you do have good landings, and not doing anything to scare yourself, and your brain starts telling itself, well, it's not such a dangerous thing to do and you've survived so far, so it's okay. And I think that's what helps build your confidence as well, is just repeating things. And I think that's what's good about having done these short flights as well, is that's helped to build my confidence, because I know I can launch okay and I know I can land okay, and I've done dozens of them already. So yeah, I think that's helped build it up a lot. And to get over that fear as well. It is definitely nerves now and not fear. First few flights, I'd certainly say to anybody who's just passed CP to go to somewhere that they know, because they are going to feel more confident, and it's one less thing to think about. So definitely, I think it's a good idea not to try and do too much at once. Adding another sight into the mix is just another hassle, really. I tell a new pilot, not be afraid to go and speak to people. Everybody's been helpful and friendly, and if they don't know the answer, they point you in the direction of someone that does generally, so it's well worth biting the bullet and going and talking to people. And chatting to people about the weather as well, when we haven't been up in the air flying for one reason or another, just talking to people and asking why people aren't flying, if it's not blatantly obvious, like it's blowing a hoolie or something, then just going and chatting to them and finding out why people haven't taken off yet and what they're seeing that I'm not, and learning a lot about clouds still, because I still don't know what I need to know about clouds really. And I mean, some of it you can pick up from reading around it, and like I've done quite a lot of reading and I've looked at videos and stuff, but I don't think you can beat going up to someone and chatting to them someone who's been flying for years and has tons of experience and stuff, and just speaking to them and getting what their point of view is and what they've used in the past and stuff is hugely valuable, I think.
I still love that. I still love going up to people and talking to them about what they know and stuff. As a pilot, you should never grow out of that.
Yeah.
Always interesting stories to hear and information to get and finding out stuff that you just hadn't thought about before.
It's sure.
Endless learning experience.
Yeah.
It's brilliant.
Oh, definitely. Every flight's been different so far, and I'm sure it'll continue that way. And that's what's brilliant about it as well. You've got to have your wits about you and think about it and stuff as well, which I really like about sports. I don't like sports that are just kind of mindless doing them. I like something that I've got to think about as well.
I'm sure you'll enjoy many, many happy flying hours.